How do we share love? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. How do we share love? Well, most of us share love as we have learned it, from our parents, from our friends, from our husbands and wives and children and relatives. However, if we could take all of the training that we've ever had on sharing love and just throw it in the trash and reach down and grab our dog and snuggle him, hug him, love him or her, and whisper sweet nothings in his ear and say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And he stands there and wags his tail. And when you're done loving him, and he maybe gives you a smooch or something, but when you're done loving him, he turns and runs and goes off to play and has fun, taking that love in his heart and knowing that all is well with his world. When we share love with others, we should share the same way we do as we hug our dog or hug our pet. The same unconditional way that we do when we work with our pets. It's so common for us to love the world and love ourselves and love people conditionally. Now, we take Ingeborg to the store and we say, Ingeborg, buy yourself something that pleases you. And Ingeborg says, I have so much clothes already, I don't really need any more. And she says, oh, they have some shoes on sale over there. They don't fit too well, but they're okay. You know? And we say, Ingeborg, when did you not love yourself? When did you start not loving yourself? Are you a worthy person? Are you a good person? She says, oh, yes. Are you a happy person? Oh, yes. Do you like yourself? Yes. Well, then why do you want to treat your body as though it's something unimportant? Why do you want to conditionally love your body? Well, I can do this, it's cheaper to do this, and it's easier to do that, and I'm not worthy of having better shoes or worse shoes or this or that. And then I go to Sylvia, and I say, Sylvia, buy yourself a nice pair of shoes. So Sylvia looks in the catalog or goes in the store, and she tries on different shoes. And some her feet just belong in, and others her feet don't belong in. Well, shoes that don't belong in, she doesn't even look at their style. She just puts them aside and says, that's not for me. When she finds something that her feet belong in, she says, yes, this is it. And she gets those shoes. Well, they're the most impractical shoes you could ever want. They are no good, really, for walking out and climbing mountains. They're no good for running. They're no good for anything except sort of just scuffing around the house and being comfortable. Well, 90% of Sylvia's time is scuffing around the house, being comfortable, so those are very wise shoes. Now, does she have shoes for climbing the mountains? I don't know. I never asked her. Do you have shoes for climbing the mountain?
Sure.
You do? Yes. Okay, good. Well, see, she's smart. She's got shoes for climbing the mountain. Now, I won't ask you the next question. Do you ever climb the mountain?
Yes.
Yes, you do. Okay, good. Well, you see, then you can use both pair of shoes. Now, why couldn't you have one pair of shoes that did both? Because one pair of shoes, you want to be super comfortable as you're sitting at your desk, as you're doing housework and doing things around the property that don't require climbing. And you have shoes for that. And Ingeborg, you have shoes that you like, but you'll take a piece of tape and wrap it around the shoe when it gets run down. And we say, Ingeborg, buy some new shoes. Get some new shoes. Oh, these are so comfortable. You're like the husband, you know, who has comfortable shoes and his wife throws them out on him. We're trying to throw out your comfortable shoes so you can get some other comfortable shoes. But do you really love yourself? do you really love yourself? Now, Ellen, for years, Ellen always wore nice clothing, and she dressed intelligently and attractively, and she was very, very good. But then Ellen started thinking, well, now, maybe I shouldn't spend so much money. Maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe I shouldn't do that. And when she did that, then she bought cheap shoes that lasted her a week, whereas her other shoes would last her a year. And this is a silly thing to do, isn't it? It's a silly thing to do because we're really not helping anything or anybody by buying something which does not last, which is not comfortable, which does not serve us. If we love ourselves, we will always give ourselves the very best. Now, that doesn't mean we go to the most expensive store in town and buy the most expensive items. That means we buy the most comfortable things for us. Things that are a pleasure to wear, pleasure to look at, pleasure to have. I can imagine Sylvia going into La-Di-Da store and buying some La-Di-Da 4, 5, 6 inch heels and walking around with these heels on. And she says, well, this is the style. And
fashion.
Can you imagine Sylvia doing that?
No.
Why not?
She wants to be comfortable.
Sylvia says if she likes herself, that's the main thing. And this is right. When you like yourself, that's the main thing. If you're going around wearing high heels or some silly thing like that to make yourself look attractive to others, others will look at you and say, my gosh, that those must be very comfortable. My gosh, how can she be comfortable in those? How can she do that? How can she, you know, ever do that? And when you're looking at Judy Garland and she's dancing on stage sometimes in high heels, and you think to yourself, what a stupid thing to do. She can dance so beautifully and she dances so nicely. She could have ordinary flats that she could wear and dance so attractively, you know. The shoes don't make her look better. Her dancing stands alone. Mm-hmm. It stands with her body movements, her the movement of her dress, perhaps, and the movement of herself, but not her shoes. And we did see one cartoonist there, he was a clown, and he had shoes that were, you know, a foot too long, and they flapped around, but that was part of his show. And even that wasn't too funny, because after you've seen him flap once or twice, you think, so?
What
else is new, you know? But when you see Fred Astaire and Judy Garland and what's the other fellow's name?
Gene Kelly.
When you see them dancing, you don't look at their shoes, you don't look at their clothes, you look at their form, you look at how gracefully. There were, and we were on the Amsterdam, and they had shows every night on the Amsterdam. And this one group put on its show, its segment of the event, and there were maybe 8 dancers, 8 or 9, and they danced quite nicely, quite nicely. But there was one man who danced with magic. He looked just like all the rest of them. He dressed just like all the rest of them, but he stood out because his body was fluid. He just moved, and of course you know who he was, and his body was fluid, and he just moved as though he was born to the music and born to the rhythm. He liked himself. He absolutely liked himself.
Uh-huh.
He loved himself, and he was the only black man on the cast, and he was fabulous, just fabulous. And every time we saw him, we were having dinner at a special dinner, and in the dinner, he was out there preparing the salad. And is more of a clownish act than actually, but he took the big salad bowl and he threw the salad in it and twirled it around. And he made it so charming, so interesting, and so beautiful that you couldn't take your eyes off of him. And everybody was running over to photograph him while he was doing this thing. And of course, he loved that.
Of course.
He loved that. It was just great. So he was very happy. Well, he likes himself. Now, you can be sure that when he buys shoes, they fit. You can be sure that when he has clothing, it fits. I mean, he was a very slim and a very well-built fellow, not even well-built. Well, he had to be. He was a dancer, you know. He's working, working, working. And so, but he did everything. Just he was fluidity in motion, you know, just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And I have some pictures of him. And he really turned out quite nice. But the thing is, he likes himself. And because he likes himself, he has everything. Now, a thought passed through my mind as I was walking along the path the other day of when I was a child. And I thought, when I was a child, there were times we didn't have a lot of shoes, and we had to make do. We had to really wear the shoes. And I never could get shoes wide enough for my feet, because they just didn't seem to make them. I just had to get longer shoes so they could be wider. And pretty soon I had boats, you know, they were pointed toes way out there, and then so that the shoe could be wide enough, my foot would fit in it. Because in the beginning I was wearing shoes that were supposed to be my size, but they were so tight, my foot was just like, you know, in a clamp. And I couldn't wait to get my shoes off and go barefoot. You can see why kids love to go barefoot. They have shoes that don't fit. And so my tennis shoes were always good, but we didn't wear tennis shoes in those days. In those days, that was not the popular thing to do, only at the gym or only in sports. And so I liked myself, so I bought these longer shoes so my feet could spread out a little bit in there. And they didn't look attractive, but they were great for running on the ice and sliding and running on the snow, because you just slide right along with that long front toe, you know. It gave you like a ski. And so I was like on skis every time I went out in the snow. But it didn't help the longevity of the shoe, because they got wet a great deal, and I'll never forget them. Not as an unhappy memory, but as a confused memory, as a memory of not having what they have today. Today, they have men's shoe stores where you can buy double, triple, and 5E width. And so now I have very comfortable shoes, and it's really quite lovely. And but the damage is already done. My toes are already pointed in. My feet are already shaped to the old shoes. But I walk comfortably. My feet are in good shape. So do I love myself?
Yes.
Yes. Do I love my dog?
Yes.
Do I love myself like I love my dog?
Yes.
Yes. Can you do that too?
Yes.
And what does it mean? It means that you are a worthwhile being. And to say worthwhile is not really what I want to say. But you deserve, well, you don't deserve anything. And you see, no matter what word I choose, it's going to run into trouble there. But like yourself, period. And when you like yourself, you will do good things for yourself. You will do right things for yourself. And when you go shopping, you cannot be concerned about the money, because if you're concerned about the money, then you won't shop. And so when you go shopping, go shopping. Now, I see that Ingeborg and Ellen have both bought the same kind of socks. And I noticed that Ellen's socks were white and gray, and Ingeborg's socks were purple and striped like she had yesterday. And today she got the white ones on. And Ellen has the white and gray, and yesterday she had the all white. So I guess you each wash in different washing machines so that you don't wear out each other's socks.
Right.
But, you know, how nice that is to have socks that fit and are comfortable. For a long time, Ingeborg's socks always slid off the back of her foot. And I said, Ingeborg, can't you tell when the sock has slid off the back of your foot? It looks terrible, yeah. You know. It looks like you don't care about yourself. But now she got socks that are just designed for her feet perfectly, and I haven't seen them slide off the back of her feet since. And of course, Sylvia sits on the other side of the table from me, and I have to look through the glass to see her feet, and I don't always notice right away what she's doing, but she always seems to be properly attired in what makes her happy. And that's what we should all do. Life is not too short, nor is it too long. But life is whatever we want to make it. And we just sent $50 to one of our prisoners. He is the son of one of our people, and a very fine man. And he's paying his price for whatever he did. And so we sent him $50 to help him along with his cosmetics and what have you. And at first we wrote him a little note and said, "Now, use it wisely, you dirty old guy." And I thought, no, we can't do that. We're not his mother, and his mother shouldn't do that either. We're not his father. His father shouldn't do that. Nobody should tell him, if you're going to give him a gift, let him use it however we wish. And so, give me the card. This is what the card has on the front of it, a gate that's ajar. And there are some old trees there that are pretty run down, but the gate is charming and it's ajar, it's open. And I wrote, "Beloved, as the picture on the cover shows, our hearts are always open to you. Your dad came to the ranch to work on our electrical circuits effectively. When he finished, over coffee, we talked about you. Your dad was most loving of you. Have our $50, or here are $50 to use as you choose to make your life more happy and fulfilled. You are always in our blessings and love. It's a joy to know you. I love you. Love, Herb." Now, you see, when you give without strings. When I give Rex a hug, I don't hug him because I want to hug back. I say to Rex, "Rex, let me give you a hug." And he stands there, and I give him a hug, and he wags his tail, and he just feels so good. And he stands there, and I stop hugging him, and I'm still leaning against him, but he doesn't move away. And then when I stand up, then he looks up at me, he says, "That all?" And then he goes off on his trek. But that's the kind of loving we want to always do. Unconditional loving. Right, Rex? Unconditional loving. He's sitting over on the couches. We have a three-piece living room suite of leather, green leather, and he knows that any one of those chairs are his by choice. And when he sits down, everybody wants to sit next to him because he's so unconditionally loving. Now, that is the guideline that I choose for myself. And because I choose it for myself, my life is very happy, very fulfilled, and very rewarding. And I see the same for you, because I have created you in my life that way, and I know that it is so. And we have a special blessing this morning from our worldwide healing ministry for Sam Agabua down in Nigeria. Sam went in for testing, and we see him totally perfect. We see him perfect in spirit, mind, and body. We see him perfect in his attitude about himself. We see him perfect in every possible way, expressing his original purity and integrity. It's not anything serious. It is just something that needed attention. And so he got his attention, and now he's back all perfect in divine order. Join with us in this treatment and know that it is so. And if you have any treatment need in your life or in your affairs or in your world or for any of your family or friends, we are with you right now, speaking our word that all is in divine order. And know that now and always. I love you eternally.